Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our continuing series, Going Behind the Scenes with Logic. We're a great revenue management company, and at its core, we're really interested in about helping you as an industry professional do your job better. And today, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about a topic that I find absolutely fascinating. And that topic is machine learning. You've probably heard a lot about it in the news. You may have even experienced it in your own life and didn't even realize it. But today we're going to talk about where it came from, why it exists, and how people are leveraging it to their advantage. And I have with me to discuss this Mr. Somnath Banerjee. He's the Chief Technology Officer with Logic. How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well. Very good to meet you here, Glenn.
Yes.
Thanks for inviting me.
It's really a pleasure to talk to you about this because I love technology and I love history, and all of this is really, really interesting to me. And I'm curious as to, you know, what exactly is machine learning?
Very, very good question. I think if you just turn on the TV or go to the internet, machine learning is all over these days.
Really?
Google and Facebook, everybody's talking about machine learning.
Right.
Before we jump into today and try to answer what exactly is machine learning, I'd like to pay the tribute where it is actually due.
Yes.
Believe it or not, even though it has become very popular and fashionable in today's day, but it actually has its roots as early in the 1950s, where researchers and scientists and computer experts were trying to do something with this. And there's a gentleman called Arthur Samuel, a pioneer in artificial intelligence. In 1959, he came up with a definition of machine learning, where he called it's a field of study that gives computers the ability to learn without being explicitly programmed.
Sounds to me like Data from Star Trek, The Next Generation.
That's correct. That's exactly right. And what he did, he's built a program to play some games. And then as the program would play more games, it'll learn from it. And slowly it will even be there to beat human beings.
Interesting.
That was Arthur Samuel very, very early on. Now, the other two very big names where we should pay tribute to is someone called John McCarthy and Mervyn Minsky.
Mm-hmm.
Both of these were attributed as the father of artificial intelligence. John McCarthy, particularly, founder of the Lisp programming language, garbage collection, Lambda calculus, etc. And very sadly or very interestingly, machine learning actually became very fashionable around 2011-2012 timeframe. Just around the time when both John McCarthy and Mervyn Minsky left us.
Oh.
They would be called definitely the pioneers or the visionaries of artificial intelligence. But now, given the history of Arthur Samuel, John McCarthy, and Mervyn Minsky, let's come into the modern times. The very formal definition of machine learning was given by someone called Tom Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Mitchell is a professor of Carnegie Mellon University, and as early as 1998, he gave a very nice definition, which I relate to, I can connect to. What Tom Mitchell said, a program is supposed to learn from an experience E with respect to a task T, and when it's measured against a performance measure P, is when by repeated doing of the task, as you collect the experience, if their performance improves by P.
Well,
so again, let's say you are doing a task, T, like taking an examination.
Right.
You're taking a task, and your grade is your performance. So, and the first time you take the exam, and you remember the questions, or you study for the test material, and that is called your experience. Now, subsequently, when you do the task again, if you are given a similar task, not the same task, mind you, because that'll be cheating, but if you're given a similar task, if your performance is improving based on your experience, then you are supposed to be learning.
Interesting.
And the whole study is based on how you collect that experience data, how do you organize it, and how you make the system learn from it.
So
that was Tom Mitchell's description.
So Somnath, that's I think what we're talking about here is the first examples I think that came to the mainstream public was Watson, the IBM computer, and the chess matches, right? Where it would lose at first, but then it learned all from losing so much that it actually started to win against some of the greatest chess masters in the world. Is that correct?
Absolutely. as it's collecting what we call the training data, it's building up the models and refining the models, and then it'll start gaining. The same thing is articulated when DeepMind is playing the Atari game. And you can see the videos, first a few seconds it's losing, but as starting to play the game, it becomes better and better. And finally, he knows the perfect way to win against the opponent is to dig a tunnel and then go inside the enemy adversary's territory. So this is exactly like as you collect more data, your models get refined, you try to reduce your error, and then you become better at it. That's the whole idea.
That's really fascinating. And I know chess is fun, and it's great to be able to play a computer and have it be smart against you. But other than that, why is machine learning so important to our 21st century society?
Well, there are many ways to answer this question. I do not know whether I can cover all grounds, but I'll definitely try.
Yeah, this is going to be a 400-part series.
Why it's important, Glenn, is one of the recent things which I heard is there is always this artificial intelligence, like how do we make machines so that it is as intelligent as human beings? And people are trying, as I mentioned, almost for 50 years. But what I look for it is not so much replacing human intelligence, but augmenting human intelligence. Because there are certain things which humans are very, very, very good at. But machines can take over some of the rote tasks, the rote learning stuff, which it's very difficult for humans to do. For example, taking your Watson example, IBM CEO Ginni Rometty recently stated that, a doctor can only remember like 200, maybe 300 journal articles, but a machine can remember 2 million journal articles.
Right.
Not only remember, they can search for it very, very quickly. So that just sheer volume of data will augment human intelligence. Now you put a very smart surgeon and you augment his intelligence with these machine factors, then definitely we'll have a better future. So that's definitely one angle.
That's really fascinating to me. So it's emerging now in day-to-day life. And I think I see it expressed when I go on to Amazon and it starts to make suggestions to me, or Netflix, by watching a certain series of movies or TV shows, it starts to tell me what it thinks I would like. Those are applications for machine learning. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Those would be called recommender systems based on your first performance, like the kind of movies which you watched, the kind of people whom you hang out with, like your population of friends and other people. And it tries to predict what kind of movies you will like. And that prediction is done by recommender systems. Amazon suggests books for you. YouTube suggests movies. Facebook suggests friends. So those suggestions are coming by grinding through your past performance, your population, etc. And it is becoming better and better as you participate in the program.
And it seems that when that happens, it becomes more integrated part of my life. Because it seems to know me better, I seem to want to interact with it more.
Absolutely. The dependency on the human and the machine relationship. You're going now almost to a spiritual metaphysical side. The attachment to a machine is going. And for example, take the case of chatbots. We're becoming closer as a society. But as we connect with these chatbots, start a conversation, we not only feel attached to them, but we develop a relationship with these machines. So as you use them, definitely, we will be using them not only more and more, but there'll be a certain human relationship which will develop with the machines.
That's really interesting. And I urge everybody to stick with us for our next episode, where we're going to get more into the details of how machine learning are going to help us interact better with computers and what kind of learning styles they employ and all of that kind of good stuff. So make sure you check back with us next time when I talk with Somnath Banerjee, CTO of Logic. Thank you all for listening, and we'll be back next time.